Okay. So for those, I guess there's a lot of new faces, so this is sort of like a build-up from last week. But let's discuss, since Yom Kippur is coming up, I know we discussed Sukkot last, but again, we're going a bit out of order, but just going to try to give a little overhead of what the day's about, or some ideas into the day. Okay, so last week, or Motzei Rosh Hashanah, we discussed that there's two tracks. So we have the Shalosh Regalim track, and we also have the Yom Narayim track. And the holidays are parallel in that Sukkot is a culmination of two, Rosh Hashanah parallels Pesach, and Shavuos parallels Yom Kippur. So I want to understand, we'll try to explain a bit what this comparison is between Shavuos and Yom Kippur. So one thing that we noted is that right after Pesach, we have the time frame of Tzeiras Omer. And right after Rosh Hashanah, right after the shofar reawakens us, we have the time period of Aseres Yemei Teshuva. And we explained that the Avodah of Shavuos is the Avodah Shebelev. It's the Avodah of Kabbalah Satorah. That doesn't happen automatically. You need 49 days of preparation to be Mekayim in Avodah Shebelev. And likewise, the Avodah of Yom Kippur is also an Avodah Shebelev. It doesn't happen overnight. We need a time period. Right? We need Elul, we need the Aseres Yemei Teshuva to prepare for that. Likewise, we also see by Tisha B'Av, for example, the Avodah of Tisha B'Av is also an Avodah Shebelev. It's the Avodah of Avelus. And you can't just go into it. Right? We need 3 weeks to be able to properly experience Tisha B'Av. We need 3 weeks of preparation of the Bein Mitzrayim to properly, fully experience Tisha B'Av. But, so on one, sort of on one plane, right, we can understand that the preparation for Yom Kippur is just sort of to get us into the state of, or the Aseres Yemei Teshuva is to get us into the state of Yom Kippur. But it's much deeper than that. So let's explain what I mean by this. So the Kriyas HaTorah that we do for Yom Kippur starts off with the death of Nadav, right? It says, Achai Moshe Nebnei Aaron. And the Pasuk says, V'lo yavol b'chol eis el HaKodesh. That there's an idea that when the person, when we approach Kedusha, it's not haphazard. The Pasuk says right after, V'zos yavol Aaron or el HaKodesh. Because when you approach Kedusha, it can't just be b'chol eis. It's not, oh, I just show up when I want. You don't just show up in the Kodesh Kedoshim. It has to come through a process. And what we mean by this is that Yom Kippur is about the Kodesh Kedoshim. Why? What's special about the Kodesh Kedoshim? So if you look in the Mefarshim, the different commentators, forget the Sarma Kedoshim, if you look at the Malbim. The Malbim explains that each one of the parts of the Beis HaMikdash corresponds to a different human body part. The different Mefarshim try to link up different parts of the Mishkan and the Mikdash of human body parts. And they explain that the Kodesh HaKadoshim corresponds to the Neshama. So why does it correspond to the Neshama? So for example, the Gemara says that the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it didn't make sense. The Aron was 20 amos wide. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, what? Yes, what's the kasha? Where are the kruvim going to fit? So the Gemara says it was an ace. It was beyond reality, right? The Kodesh HaKadoshim was beyond the mitzvahs of this world, because somehow the kruvim were able to fit in this space that was smaller than the space allowed for the Aaron. And the point is that one day a year, we're tapping into something that's beyond this world, that's beyond the mitzvahs. That our neshama, during the rest of the year, there's no mitzvahs that we do for our neshama. There's no mitzvahs that we do. But the point is that one day a year, we do an avodah that's centered around the neshamas, which is Yom Kippur. And the Sfarim explained that Yom Kippur is not only Kodesh HaKadoshim in terms of space, but it's also Kodesh HaKadoshim in terms of time. That Yom Kippur is l'mal min hazman. The ideas of what Yom Kippur represents, it's not part of this world. And the point is that one day a year, right? The Gemara says that Satan has no shlita on Yom Kippur. There's one day a year that we're going to something beyond. That's the Yom Kippur. That's Yom Kippur. So the point is, right? Bezos yavo aron el kodesh. So it requires hachana. To properly experience what Yom Kippur is about, you can't just haphazardly show up like Nadav Avihu did to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It requires preparation. And that's what the avoda of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva is about. Good? Okay. Now, let's explain this on a deeper note, right? So what do we mean that Yom Kippur is l'mal mi'azman? It's not shaykh to this world. Let's explain this. So Rav Tzadok HaKohen says that Yom Kippur is Bebechinas Mashiach. So Keyadua, Rav Tzadok is very cryptic. And the question is, what does Rav Tzadok mean that Yom Kippur is Bebechinas Mashiach? So, I think you can explain like this. So last week we discussed what Rosh Hashanah is all about, that Rosh Hashanah is the world returning to its shoresh, right? The world returning to, the Bria as a whole returning to its shoresh. And Yom Kippur is also accomplishing that. I'll explain what I mean. So the Maharal explains, what month is Yom Kippur in? It's in the seventh month. Now, the number seven, according to Kabbalah, six is these six direct, right, X, Y, Z planes, right? You got the six different axes. And then seven is the entire unit as a whole. Number 10, which is the day of Yom Kippur, is that you're returning back to the one. 10, you add the zero, and you're going back to the beginning. So the point is that on Yom Kippur, we return to the shoresh that occurred in Rosh Hashanah. That the point is that Yom Kippur is the completion, right, the sesame tshuva, where you're going to the end, we're going all the way back to the beginning. Because the point is that Yom Kippur, it's the chazaras, abriya, el shoresh, which is what Rosh Hashanah is all about. So the point is, in the seventh month, which represents completion, the entire Bria as a whole is returning to its complete state, which is Bebechinas Mashiach. That's what Mashiach is all about. Mashiach is all about restoring the world back to the state that it's supposed to be in. Right? As we mentioned a few times, that the Ramban says that Yimos Mashiach is Gan Eden. Right? We're going back. We're going back to go forwards. And the point is that Yom Kippur is capturing, right, it's capturing this idea that we're going, it's beyond, right, it's beyond this world, it's in another state because we're going, right, we're sort of transcending where we are currently. So that's sort of one way of looking at it. But on another level as well, right, Chazal teach that the Gedola Tshuva Shemagia Kisei HaKavod. What does this mean? Gedola Tshuva Shemagia Kisei HaKavod. So Maharal explains that the Gemara says that the Kisei HaKavod is where the neshamas come from, and the neshamas come from the Kisei HaKavod. When a person does tshuva, the neshamas return to its shoresh, or the neshamas returning to the shoresh of the Bria. And the point is that we're returning to where we came from, to who we really are. Because as we've noted, once Adam HaRishon sinned, it became diminished. And the point is that when we're doing tshuva, we're going back, we're returning to where Adam HaRishon came from. So that's the avodah of Yom Kippur, right? We're trying to get back to where we originally were. Good? Okay. So let's understand this on a much deeper level. Okay, this was not complicated enough. Let's explain now the Sila Azazel, what's going on. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, obviously the focus in the day, back in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, was on the Avodah, and specifically on the two Seirim that they brought. Right, that they brought, well, the Azazel, which was thrown off the cliff, and then the Seir, which was used as a chattis in the Beis HaMikdash. So I'm going to say over a mimer that Rav Lopiansky wrote and said, and it literally took me like an hour to fully, properly comprehend what he said, so I'll try to do my best to explain it, because this is difficult. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim in the Nefesh HaChayim both explain that there's a Kodem HaChet. The Yetzirah was something that was external. After Adam HaRishon sinned, the Yetzirah became something internal. Let's explain what the Rambam and the Rav Chaim Volozhiner mean by this. So, for example, take the Avera of Shatnez. A person who wears Shatnez clothing, chances are their Yetzirah, they don't really want to wear the Shatnez clothing. They want to wear that clothing, it just happens to also have Shatnez in it. What they want is not the Avera, but the Avera happens sort of by default from what their actions are, but they don't inherently want the Aveira. They don't want this Aveira. They just want to do X, and through X they're going to come to do some Aveira, but they don't want to do the Aveira. That's an external Yetzirah. Once Adam and Rishon sinned, the Yetzirah became something internally. So for example, when a person has a desire, a taiva, for Malchalos Asuros or Arayos, you want the Aveira itself. It's not like by the Issa of Shatnas where you just want to wear your favorite shirt and it happens to have Shatnas. No. But it comes to Arayos, Malchalos Asuros, the taiva is for the Aveira. It's not for something external. So that's what happened after Achet. We see after Adam and Rishon sinned, there became this collision, this sort of merging of Tov and Ra together. And we'll cite three examples in history of this, and we'll explain their connection to Yom Kippur. So number one, once Adam and Rishon sinned, right, Tov and Ra became merged together, that the Yetzirah now became something internal, not external. That's one. Two, Esav and Yaakov. Yitzchak, it was hard to differentiate between who was good, who was bad. Because the point is, Tov and Ra became something, they came together now. It was unclear. Before Adam and Rishon sinned, it was easily detectable what's good and bad. Once Adam sinned, Yaakov and Esav, we couldn't sort of figure out who was who. And third is the A of Rav, right, which again plays a big emphasis in Yom Kippur, because they're the ones who caused the Chet Ego, which we got atonement for in Yom Kippur. Right, the A of Rav also, they're this mixture of good and bad, and they had this good, and they brought the idolatry into Klai Yisrael. So what's the Seir Lazazel all about? So the point's like this. Any mitzvah or any good that we do is inherently tainted because of the Yetzirah. It's a part of us. So in the Ramban al Torah, the Ramban al Torah is a very cryptic and Kabbalistic, I don't know if anyone's seen it, it's a very Kabbalistic comment about the Seir Lazazel in Perek Yitzayin and Parashas Achrimos. The Ramban says that we're appeasing the Satan. What does the Ramban mean that we're not offering a korban to the Satan? What does the Ramban mean that we're appeasing the Satan? So the point's like this. We are not able to differentiate between good and bad. When it comes to the two Seirim that we use on Yom Kippur for the Seir Lazazel, we do it through lotteries. Why? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be the one to determine what's good and bad. The point, we're showing we don't know. We don't know what's good, what's bad. We have a Goral, which the Kohen Gadol represents all of Klai Yisrael. Does the Goral, chooses one Seir, which is going to be used for Achatas, which we're able to elevate through Kedusha, through the Shechita, through the Zrika, through the Korban process. Then there's another Seir, which represents evil, or Ra, which is the Seir Lazazel. And the point, what we're doing, is that we're taking the Seir Lazazel, and we're taking it to the Midbar, back to where it belongs. The Midbar, according to the Ramban says that the Midbar is the place where the Satan reigns, because it's desolate, there's nothing there. The Seir Lazazel, the point what we're doing is that we're taking the Ra and the Bria, and we're moving it back in its place. The point is that that's the tikkun for the sin of Adam Harishon. Adam Harishon, when he sinned, he brought Tov and Ra and merged them together. With the Seir Lazazel, what we're doing is we're taking the Ra and we're separating it from the Tov. Adam Rishon's goal when it came to the Eitz Hadas was not to destroy the Eitz Hadas. So you don't see any command that Kadosh Baruch Hu said that Adam should destroy the Eitz Hadas. No, Hashem said you shouldn't eat from it. You have to differentiate between good and bad. And we're trying to rectify that with the Seir Lazazel, because we're pushing away the bad. We're not destroying it, no. We're returning the bad to where it belongs. And that's the tikkun for the chet of Adam and Rishon. So the point is, on Yom Kippur, we're free of taivas ha'achila. We're free of taivas ha'arayos. Tashin Shemitah is one of the five inuim. And the point is that the internal Yitzhara that exists as part of us, we're getting rid of. We're getting rid of that. And we're making it external again. Which is what Adam Rishon had, right? That was the Yetzirah that existed. Kodem Achet. So the Ramban says that we're coming to appease the Satan with the Sir Lazazel. The point is that we're returning Ra to where it belongs. We're taking the pseudo good and we're putting it back in its place. And that's the tikkun for the chet of Adam Rishon. Right, does that make sense? Because that was okay.
Can you re-explain the phrase that we're appeasing the Satan?
Yeah. Okay. The Ramban, right, we're not offering a korban. Right? It's not a korban to the Satan. It doesn't make any sense to offer a korban to the Satan. The point is that we're telling the Satan. Right, the Gemara says that the Satan's the Yetzahara. We're telling the Satan that this, the Ra, this is, we're moving it to the Midbar, because the Midbar is where, the Ramban says, the Midbar is where Ra, like, reigns, right? Ra, like, the evil supreme in the desert. Yochanan ben Bechaya in the Kabbalah story, they talk about it. And the point is that we're moving it back, where we're telling the Satan that, right, Ra, it's not part of us, it's for you. And that's, right, our appeasement, it's not a korban, we're just sort of giving back to him what he sort of tried to inject into us. Okay. Now that's sort of from one perspective, but this also, this tikkun that we're doing for the chet of Adam Rishon also takes on another element of through the vidoy process. I'll explain also, this is also a very deep maimer. We'll try to explain this as well. Mitzvos, the Ramchal and a lot of other Rishon Achronim discuss that mitzvos is really two components of the mitzvah, right? There's the actual mitzvah itself and the effects that it's supposed to have on a person. So for example, right, when a person wears tefillin shorosh, it's supposed to have like an effect on a person's thoughts, etc. But there's another deeper meaning to all mitzvahs, namely that they're sort of coming from a Kodesh Baruch Hu and represent a connection to him. And that's true by mitzvahs, that's also true by averis as well. That when we do an avera, aside from the inherent sin that we're doing that's bad, but it also represents a breakage, it represents where we're breaking, where a disconnect from Hashem. So during the Vidur, it's interesting, right? What do we say? Well, the Rambam, when he paskins the Lashon of the Vidur, right? What are the first two words of the Vidur? Ana Hashem. Why do we start the Vida with the words Ana Hashem? This entire Vida is about us confessing. Why do we start it with two words of... Right, normally when we say Ana Hashem, it's like a tefillah. Ana Hashem Oshiyana, Ana Hashem Etzlichana. Like it seems to be sort of totally irrelevant here. Like, why is it that the Vida specifically starts with this beseechment to Hashem? So, Volpiansky likes to give a mashal to describe two ways that a person could sort of ask appeasement from a... Let's give a mashal to describe two ways of asking appeasement from a friend. So imagine that Reuven embarrasses Shimon and sincerely regrets it and tries to mollify him and to ask for forgiveness, and he truly regrets it deep down. That's sort of one way of asking for forgiveness. Option B. Let's say Reuven embarrasses Shimon. Shimon beats Reuven up. Reuven sincerely regrets what he did. Reuven doesn't ask Shimon for forgiveness, but he's not going to do it again. He regrets it. He learned his lesson. What's the difference between the two? In the first case, the person actually regretted the relationship that was damaged through his sin. In the second case, he didn't regret the relationship that was damaged, he just regretted the outcome that occurred from his wrongdoing. The vidoy, when we do vidoy, what are we doing? Before we confess for the actual sin itself, we say the two words, Ana Hashem. Because we want to repair that relationship. Right? When we do vidoy, when we do tshuva, aside from the sin itself, no, we recognize the fact that we broke a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the first thing that we need to repair. Before we get to the actual sin, it's the Ana Hashem. So, the word Vidoy in Hebrew is from a Lashon of Hoda'ah. Now, the word Hoda'ah has two meanings. I'll explain, it really means the same thing. Right? Hadar could either mean to admit, right? Like Hodas Baldin, or Hadar also could mean thanks. Now, if you think about it, they really mean the same exact thing. Because when a person, let's say a person gave someone else a gift, or let's say he gave me a gift, so what am I doing? I'm recognizing the fact that this object is not really mine, but you gave it to me. I'm sort of submitting myself to that. I'm recognizing the fact that this is really yours, but you gave it to me. When a Baal Din, right, is motivated to the fact that he owes money, right, it's again, he's admitting to the fact that something that he has really, right, belongs to someone else. When we do the Vidui in Yom Kippur, we're submitting ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a complete submission. We're admitting to the fact that we messed up. It's a complete acknowledgement of the fact that we messed up. And it's an act of hisbatlus. It's an act of negating ourselves towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because it's an act of submission. Hisbatlus really means levatel. You're submitting yourself to something greater. So, Adam HaRishon, when he sinned, right, what happened? Right, the pasuk says that Adam wanted, he wanted to be Vayisa ke'elokim yodea tovera. So what Adam HaRishon want? He wanted to be like God. What does it mean, be like God? He wanted to be independent of God. That was severing the connection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then his actual sin was yodea tovera, right? He wanted to know good and bad. When we do the Vida in Yom Kippur, what are we doing? We're being mevatel ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying that we don't want to be independent of him. Adam HaRishon wanted to be independent. No. We're being mevatel ourselves completely and saying that we don't want to be independent. We don't want to be the ones that are choosing good and bad. As we just said by the Seel HaZazel, right? The whole yisod of the Seel HaZazel is showing that we're not the ones in control of Tov V'ra. That's not up to us. We don't understand it. We don't know what it is. We're leaving that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to decide which of the Seerim is going to be for the good, which one's going to be for the bad. That's not in our realm. And the point is that we're reversing the process that Adam HaRishon did. Right? We're reversing the Ra that Adam brought into the Bria. The fact that he wanted to be independent. We're saying, no, we don't. We want to be completely connected. And we're mevatel ourselves. So if you think about it, during the Yom Kippur davening, right, we do Hishtachavoya. Right, when we say it, the Korim, right, when we say the Kohanim, Korim, Hishtachim, we all go bow down on the floor. Why? So it's an act of Hispatlus. In Yom Kippur, we see numerous examples of the fact that we're completely negating ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So for example, the Ramban says by korbanos, right, the korban according to the Ramban explains that korban, like, you're supposed to view yourself as if you were, right, the animal. Because the point is you're completely negating yourself. Same thing with the mikvah. Mikvah is a big emphasis in Yom Kippur because you're completely submerged. It's a complete negation. And that's what the Vidui is as well. It's a complete negation of ourselves towards the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if Moshe Shapiro likes to point out, right, in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to bow not only when they did the when they heard the Shem Hashem during Birkas Kohanim as well, they used to bow. So why is it that during Yom Kippur, when we hear the Birkas Kohanim, we're not bowing on the floor like they did in the Mikdash? So he explains that there's two dinim to bowing. There's bowing in the Mikdash that they did midin kavod, which was the bowing that they did when they heard the Shem Hashem in Birkas Kohanim. And then there's another type of bowing, which is done mitzad these battles of a person towards the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was the bowing that they did during the Avodah. And what happens? Right, when we do the Vidui in the bowing, at the end, right, we're Kiva Yom Hazeh Chaper Aleichem, L'tar Etzchem L'fnei Hashem Elokeichem. Right, but what happens is that we say a few sentences, and then only at the end of the paragraph, what does the Kohen Gadol, what does the Shulch Sibor say? Tiaru, right? It's only at the end that we say the word Tiaru. Because the point is that the Tahara only can come once we're mevatel ourselves completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Tahara, what's Tahara, right? Tahara, right, and Yom Kippur, we're all trying to achieve Tahara. Because Tahara, right, as we say every morning, right? Elokai neshama shansata bi taharahi. It's pure, it's pristine, there's no sin. So it's only after we're completely mevatar ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Kohen Gadol, with the Vidoi, etc., that we're able to achieve Tahara. Because that was the original state of Adam Rishon, Kohen Machet, in the pristine form. So that's why there's sort of like a hefsik between the if you look in the davening, right, you're going to see there's a hefsik between when we bow and when the shir sivur it says tahara. We split the pasuk because the point is that the tahara alone can come after we're completely mevat ourselves to Kosh Baruch Hu, undoing the sin of Adma Rishon, which you didn't want to do that. So as we said from the beginning, right, Rav Tzadok said that Yom Kippur is b'chinas Mashiach because the point is that we're restoring the sin that Adma Rishon did. Adam Rishon didn't want to be Mevato himself. He brought the Tova Ra into the Bria. And the point is that we're undoing that in Yom Kippur. Because it's not in this world. It's coming from somewhere else. Okay. So if you also, okay, so let's add to this a bit more from less Kabbalistic sources now. The Rambam, if you look in the Rambam, when he describes the mitzvahs of Yom Kippur, he doesn't call it a mitzvah of inoy v'tzom. He says it's a mitzvah of shrisa. When a person doesn't eat on Yom Kippur, he calls it shrisa. He doesn't call it fasting. Because the point is that you're in another state. It's not an affliction. You're rising to a level, right? The Chazal teach that we're melachim on Yom Kippur, because the point is we're going to another plane. It's not like Tishba where the Chamishas and Nuim are emanating from a Velos. No, it's the exact opposite. We're on such a high threshold, we're on such a high Madriga, that we express that through the Chamishas and Nuim. Ma? Chamisha? Inuyim? As achila v'shtia. Let's just discuss a few more. I don't know if should keep going or. Let's discuss some more ideas that are relevant. So. During the Yom Kippur davening, right, during the Vida, what do we say? We emphasize, repeat multiple times. Slach lanu, mechal lanu, kaper lanu. Okay, so there's like every opinion under the sun what those three words mean. There's machlokes in the Barbanel and the Malbim, is like going in is it ascending order or descending order of forgiveness? Like, do we seem like slicha is the greatest madrigal, or do we see kapar? It's a big discussion. But let's just try to explain these three terms. The word kapara, a lot of them farshim point out, it's from a lashon of kaporis. Right? What's a kaporis? It's a covering. So first, what happens? Kosh Baruch Hu covers our sins. Next, mechila. What's mechila? Mechila is from a language of mechol, right? A circle. So what's happening? Kosh Baruch Hu is restoring the relationship that we had. And then slicha seems to sort of be the overall, like, sort of the complete renewal or whatever. So when we say slach lanu, mechal lanu, kaper lanu, we're trying to return to the state, right? We're not only asking for tshuva, for kapara, for the sin that we did. No, we're trying to mend the severance that we did between us and Hashem. And that's the big, that's the avoda of Yom Kippur. The avoda of Yom Kippur is, it's not only asking for forgiveness for what we've done, but it's about mending the connection that we lost with Him, that we sort of were out of touch. For the rest of the year, we were not in touch with who we really are. Right? In this one day a year, we're in touch with the real, right, what everything's really about. Okay, so let's just discuss also another important factor within this is that it's not only about the yechidim. It's not only about individuals. There's a big hakpada on Yom Kippur. It's about the tzibur as a whole. So I'll try to explain why this is important in some examples. So first of all, Salvechik points out, we call it Som Ha'asur, Som Ha'asiri. What's the language, what's the lashon of Tsom? So Tsom means a braid in Hebrew. So he likes to explain, because you need everyone coming together. Right? The Yom Kippur can't properly provide tshuva and kapara unless call ourselves together. And we see, it's in, at the start of the Kol Nidre, what do? We ask for a shus to daven with the poshe Yisrael. And the Mefarshim point out that the same way that the Ketores, that the same way that Ketores had one of the spices of in it was bad, because the point is everyone needs to be together. Because to achieve the kapara and tahara of Yom Kippur, it's not only us as individuals, but us as a nation. We have to achieve. We have to achieve this together. Because it's not only about our personal relationships. It's also about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's general relationship with Klal Yisrael. And I think, right, so we start Yom Kippur. It's interesting, right? We start Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre. So this is a big cash, like, why on earth are we starting Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre? Like, Nedarim, is that like the biggest sin that we have to work on? Like, all the avers that we've done the past year in Nedarim? So I think you could potentially explain. The Maral says that, the Gemara in Nedarim says that whoever takes Neder is ki'ilu bona bama. It's as if you're building a bama. So the Maral explains that when you build a bama, what are you doing? You're essentially building your own place of worship. You're sort of creating like your own religion. You're not teaming up with the rest of Klal Yisrael on the base of Mikdash. No, like, you need to build your own personal bama. You have to have your own personal vote, and you have to have your own personal religion. When a person takes a neder, he's sort of adapting upon himself his own Torah. Yeah, he needs to add his own mitzvah for himself. The rest of what Klal Yisrael, what everyone else is doing is not good enough. He needs to sort of come up with his own ideas. So, on Yom Kippur, we start Yom Kippur by doing Kol Nidre. We're getting rid of all Nedarim. Because the point is that we're coming together. Everyone, we're coming together all on the same page. We're not having different avodas. Each person is sort of doing this. No. We're coming. Kol Nidre, we're getting rid of all Nedarim. We're getting rid of all our independent, separate avodas. And the point is that we're coming together saying, no, we're all sort of doing the same thing. We all want to work together to achieve the tahara and kapara of Yom Kippur. And in the Svarim, so the Mishnah, as we'll come back to what we said at the beginning, right? The Mishnah teaches in the Maseches Tannis that, right, there are no days that are as happy to Klal Yisrael as Tu Be'av in Yom Kippurim. And the Mishnah says that cause Yom Kippur Zeh, right? The Mishnah says that Yom Kippur is Matan Torah. The Mishnah uses the language of Matan Torah to describe Yom Kippur. Why? Because on Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael as a whole. He reaffirmed the fact that despite the Chet HaEgel that we committed, despite the sin, the great sin that we did, we were still married to Him. And on Yom Kippur, right, Shavuos, we received the Luchos Rishonos, but Yom Kippur, we received the Luchos Shnios. So the Svarim like to explain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't express Himself physically in this world. So He expresses Himself through the Torah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Luchos Shnios on Yom Kippur, He was showing that we are still united with Him. And the point is that on Yom Kippur was the first Yom Kippur in history was when Hashem gave forgiveness for all of Klal Yisrael together as a whole, as an entire nation as a whole. And that's what we're doing, right? Also, on Yom Kippur, we're doing the same thing. We're, as an entire nation, as an entire tzibur, as an entire kahal, we're trying to achieve the original kapara and tahara that Klal Yisrael experienced on the first, right? That Klal Yisrael experienced with the luchos shnios in the midbar. As we noted last week, the Yamim Tovim Moadim, it's not historical past events, right? We're re-experiencing it every single year, right? Last week we discussed a lot, right? The shofar, right? Returning to the shoresh, right? We're returning, right, to the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew life into Admar Rishon, which is like the shofar. We're also doing, right? That happens every single year. The same thing is happening with every single Yom Kippur. That it's the reconnection that we're having as both as a yechidim, both as individuals, and as a tzibur, which occurs every single Yom Kippur. And the point is that it's not from this world. It's coming from something beyond. And to properly get to that, to properly be able to achieve the full kapara and to have Yom Kippur, requires hachana on our part. And that's the avoda that we're in now in the Sesim Yitshuva, that you can't, it's not b'chol eis yavol ha-kodesh. No, it's bezos yavol aron ha-kodesh. That it needs a plan, right? Yom Kippur, we discussed this few days ago, right? The same way that in the Kabbalah storm, they talk a lot about how, right, first is like the initial spark, chachma bim v'das, right? First is the initial spark, then there's the plan, and then there's like the execution of the plan. We explained that that's Rosh Hashanah, right? We explained that's Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So Pesach was like the initial sort of spark of the idea of Klal Yisrael. Shavuos, Matan Torah, is the plan. And Sukkot is the execution, right? Sukkot is the concretization of Har Sinai. But the same is true of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. So Rosh Hashanah is the machshava, right? The shofar is supposed to waken us, right? Yom Kippur is about the dibor, it's about the pratim. And then Sukkot is the actualization of Yom Kippur. So the point is that Yom Kippur, right, it's supposed to be the plan for us for the year going forwards. That we take this one day a year to sort of refocus on what our values really are, and we're using this to springboard our relationship, right, through Sukkot, and then beyond, for we're springboarding the rest, right, we're springboarding the next year with Hashem. And it needs hachana. You can't just approach it as is, right? It requires preparation. That's sort of the avoda that we're hopefully striving to do now, and that Bezus Hashem, everyone will do. I guess, let me just add a minute of a tshuva, Joshua, even though it's not the place for it, but let me just say it anyway, because it's important. And over the past year and a half, unfortunately, we saw what happened. More than 500,000 people in America passed away due to COVID. How could it possibly be that we haven't changed because of that? If you looked at the tsaros that befell Klal Yisrael, just think, how many buildings exist in the United States of America? A lot. The buildings fall. Like, this is not communist Russia. Isn't it normal for apartment buildings to fall and crash in the middle of the night? And of all the buildings in America to fall, specifically a building that contains so many Jewish residents? Like, is that not HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us something? And what happened in Meron, right, this could have happened any year. You look at all this, whatever, all the reporters and whatever said this is going to happen. But it's just Hashem chose that it should occur this year. Like, we're not going to wake up. Like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us a message. Well, what that message is, right, each person has to sort of figure out what they need to work on, fix. But we have to wake up. Because this is real. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a relationship with us. He wants us to do tshuva, and he's giving us the opportunity to do it, but we have to seize it. Revolba talks in one of his farm that getting ready for Sukkot now is completely wrong, because you're just distracting yourself from the real avoda. The avoda now is the avoda shebelev, which we need to prepare for Yom Kippur, and there's no excuses. It takes hard work, and look, Bezus Hashem, I hope... not only as individuals, everyone we all share should achieve kapara and tahara, but also as Klal Yisrael as a whole. Okay. What do I do now with the? I